Well, good morning, Tim.
Good morning. 2:30 in the afternoon here in Newcastle under Lyme. So
I'm trying to create immersion for people who are listening to us on Wednesday. And I'm also going to say, Tim, and this feels weird because we're recording on Tuesday, but today is the day that the Premier League is back.
I can hear lots of groans around the nation as well, though, Tom, because I really don't think everybody is glad that it's back, no matter what people say.
Football every day. There's literally football matches, good football matches, every single day of the week. Can you remember when there was uproar when football games started on Sunday?
I can, yes, because I'm very old enough to do that. And I've missed many a Sunday game live because of other things that I was doing on a Sunday, but not now.
And I don't know whether I should be... There's no pride in this, but I've gone to 2 football matches on Sundays in my whole life.
Very good.
And both of them I took a day of annual leave for to make sure that I wasn't causing any trouble. But I think it's a fascinating thing, and I think it's amazing what's going on. And I suppose we saw the shops open on Monday, and I'll admit that when I went to Newcastle, I was very surprised at just how many people there were. It didn't feel like there was really much of a pandemic going on in the world. But as football returns as well, I know football's been out across the continent, and I'm sure some people like myself have been engrossed by football from all the other nations. It's quite something when we have football back on our own turf, starting up again this evening with the big match, Aston Villa versus Sheffield United. What a game to start
so off, eh? I'm just trying to work out, Tom, why you're so excited about the football season starting. I'm really struggling to understand.
Well, you need to struggle no more, Tim, because in my entire adult life, it might shock you, I am not over the age of 30. In my entire adult life, I've never seen my beloved team win the Premier League, the top flight, and they are within touching distance. They may have won it by Sunday evening. We'll see if results go their way. They may finally win the league on Sunday evening. There'd be beautiful irony to them winning it at an empty Goodison Park, Liverpool's rival team Everton, in an empty stadium of theirs. But otherwise, hopefully by this time next... Well, it'd be next Wednesday evening they will have wrapped it up.
I'm
just delighted. So I really am.
Today being Wednesday, of course, we've got to pretend it's Wednesday. you're going to become an Arsenal supporter, I'm guessing, to join one of our other Deacon's favourite teams.
Temporarily, yes. Yeah, I have actually been to Arsenal. I've been to their ground. It's big and
excellent.
Not a patch on Anfield, but it is a big stadium. I'll give them that.
Well,
but yeah, temporary Arsenal fan, and I am sure as games go on, I'll temporarily become fans for other teams. Yeah. Tim, I want Bournemouth to stay up.
Thank you, Tom.
Your beloved Cherries to stay in the Football League, because it means that we'd have some more rivalry over the next 12 months.
But if they go down, then maybe, you know, we'll be able to play at Stoke City's ground next year. And
that's assuming Stoke don't go down.
It's going to be a bit weird, isn't it? Because I live fairly near to the Stoke City ground, and it's going to be quite weird knowing that there are matches going on and there's not going to be any traffic.
Weird. So it's going to be very strange. Yeah, but this is... People love using the words new normal. I think this will become a new normal for football for a while.
Yes,
I don't see how we're going to do it. And I suppose some of this is the gatherings of people. Many of you will know that we've met as deacons and trustees. We meet twice a month, and you will have probably seen on email, but we are just continuing to follow the government's guidelines on meeting up indoors. So don't worry, we're not being hypocrites and going to football matches but not opening the doors of the church. We're just continuing to follow their guidance and guidelines as to whether we can reopen safely for worship. At the moment, we'll be continuing online this Sunday. Tim, 10:30?
10:30 this Sunday, we continue the series, The Present, and we're going to be looking at security and stillness and how the Holy Spirit gives us that place of security, but also a place of stillness. And actually, out of the stillness comes an even stronger security, because we sense his presence and his whisper. So, yeah, do join us at 10:30. And then we're going to be sharing communion together, aren't we, on Zoom after that service. So we look forward to joining together and to remembering what Jesus has done for us, which is phenomenal. But of course, not only for us, Tom. And this is what we want to talk about a bit today, isn't it? You know, that what Jesus, communion isn't just this sort of personal experience, although it is. It's also a communal experience, but also one that takes us out of our existing community, if you like, of the church, in order to take this good news out to people so that they feel included in this incredible story of Jesus and his death and his resurrection and forgiveness and freedom and hope and future and all those things that the cross means to all of us.
We've loved hearing your feedback over our last couple of weeks. We know that many of you have been challenged, some of you very deeply, by what we've been talking about. And as we said last week, both myself and Tim are coming at it from backgrounds where we've either not seen it or we haven't really stood up in the past as we would like to have done. But we're continuing to explore the issues surrounding race and our humanity as we delve into the Bible this week. We've been speaking from our own experiences and somewhat 2 weeks ago out of my heart, actually, and what was really just settling on it at that moment. But today we're wanting to go into the Bible itself to look at what the Bible has to say about the joining up of cultures and nations under the title of the body of Christ. And if you were to type into Google racism, scriptures, Bible as some buzzwords, you'll get loads of different articles that pop up and loads of scriptures. We could go all the way from Genesis at the start, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, how we're all made in the image of God, all the way through to the book of Revelation, where we read further scriptures, and they sang a new song saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals," and so on from Revelation chapter 5. It goes all the way from the start to the end of the Bible, and it's something that clearly matters to God, and therefore if it matters to God, it's something that should be mattering to us. This is not something that we're talking about just because it's a hot topic at the moment. We're really not wanting to just signpost people to it because it looks good for us as a church. This is something that is a biblical topic that we need to address all the time. We love talking about injustice. Tim, before this, we were saying that we've, in the past, we've done things on against slavery. We've done things for fair trade. There's been so many different things that we have stood up for as churches. And to be honest, this is just a continuation of something that we haven't dealt with as well as we should have done in the past. And because of what's happened in the world recently, it's come up to the fore of our attention. But this is something that has been going on for many years, that as a church, we've done an amount for, but we need to do more. And what better way for us to kind of begin to explore this today than to go into the Bible itself, the source of our knowledge about what God has to say on this issue. We're looking at the book of Ephesians today. It's an amazing book from start to finish that has so much in it for us to explore. We could have picked pretty much any part of the book of Ephesians to draw things out, but there's one passage in particular in Ephesians chapter 2, and this is part of Paul's writings to the people in Ephesus, explaining to them about how they've been made alive in Christ. And there's a passage in Ephesians chapter 2 which speaks really deeply into this issue of reconciliation amongst the people and the nations. So this is from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. "Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups become one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by the Spirit.
Amen.
He knew how to preach,
didn't he, Paul?
Phenomenal preacher. And every word comes alive when you read any of his letters. I haven't yet found anything that hasn't said something to me when I've read it. And actually, a lot of the writers of letters said the same thing. I know for me, I loved reading James when I was a student. The words pop off the page there. But we're in this passage today that was written by Paul to the church in Ephesus.
Yeah, it's an intriguing outworking, isn't it, of what Paul's theology and his thinking was as he was working this out and writing it from, you know, when you think of the background that Paul had, you know, when he tells his story of his upbringing, you know, and his training in the legal profession, his Pharisaic background, his being there when Stephen was stoned, you know, all those things, him dragging followers of Jesus out into marketplaces, you know, and persecuting them. It's a remarkable turnaround of story that happened to him, obviously on the road to Damascus particularly, but then unfolded as he lived among the Christian community in the different places that they were active in, of course, during this time of persecution. And this whole transformation from being, you know, completely exclusive, wasn't he? You know, anybody who was outside of his own framework of friendship, you know, was sort of on the other side of the fence, and he wouldn't cross that boundary, and he resisted that, and, you know, he couldn't do that because of his understanding of the Old Testament, I guess, and the law that had been developed from that. But here he's talking about crossing all those boundaries, crossing all those barriers, not just crossing them, but knocking them down, and to embracing, you know, this whole community of all sorts of different people with all sorts of different backgrounds, but coming together to become this one body that reflected who Jesus was. It is a remarkable you know, piece of passion, isn't it, really? You know, written just, and you can just hear him, can't you? You know, I think he just all these words spilling out of him. And in the Greek, you know, when writing in the Greek, there's no punctuation in there, and you just think it's going on and on and on and on and on, because he is going on and on and on, because this is so important to him in that sort of context, in a very divisive context. But yet he wanted to declare, you know, these truths to anybody and everybody who was listening in Ephesus at that time.
I was intrigued to read, Tim, that in verse 14 it talks about a dividing wall of hostility, and Paul was writing to them here actually with the knowledge of knowing that there was a physical wall. There was a physical dividing wall between the Gentiles and the Jews that stopped the Gentiles from accessing the Jewish temple.
Yeah.
And on this physical wall, it was a kind of 4 foot high, 4 foot thick wall, so they could see over the top of it, but they were not allowed past it. There was a sign which said, "No foreigner may enter within the barrier and enclosure around the temple. Anyone who is caught doing so will have himself to blame for his ensuing death." So there was this physical barrier, there was this physical thing that stopped people being joined together, even if they felt that they wanted to. There was no chance whatsoever of it. And yet Jesus here is saying that, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." This dividing wall was smashed down by what Jesus came, did and offered for both Jews and Gentiles.
Yeah, I mean, and the temple had other barriers, didn't it, for women as well? You know, there's a women's court as well, you know, and women weren't allowed to go any further. And this whole story that Paul was so wrapped up in, wasn't he, you know, and maybe didn't even think about why there were walls there, why there was this differentiation, because he was just brought up in that way. And then, you know, having understood the story of Jesus and why Jesus came, then he writes this incredible passage, you know, without any fear, without any, you know, doubt or confusion. He makes it so clear. And it is this complete turnaround from this person who was a separatist, really, in every way, but who now becomes someone who wants to include everybody and assure people that they are included as well. You know, he wants them to know that they're part of this story. Phenomenal.
Paul's desperate for people to see that God is a reconciling God. And actually, yeah. a huge part, and you could possibly say the entirety of the gospel, is all about reconciliation. It's about us drawing close to God. But actually, I think some of what Paul's saying here isn't that it's just that we're brought close to God through this reconciliation. We're actually brought near to the people that we once thought we were so different from ourselves. And for years, that has been divides due to class, gender, race. It's been due to any number of differences. And actually, God is wanting to restore our relationships with people and groups that we perhaps have mistreated. In fact, I'm not even going to say perhaps we've mistreated, to groups of people that we have mistreated as a society.
I think as
we begin to read through it, we kind of see that if we're Christians and we belong to Jesus, we're called to be part of this movement. We're called to bring reconciliation between people, because if we're saying that there's still going to be divides between people, how on earth can we begin to say to people, actually, you need to reconcile yourself with God, you need to make yourself right with God, when there's still huge divides amongst different people and different nations? And as people on this earth who are kind of God's representatives at this moment in time, I think the opportunities that we have to share this life-changing message of the gospel can create healthy relationships with both God and his people around us, no matter who they are. And I think it comes back to what we talked about last week, that I think when we approach a lot of these situations, it's really important for us to go through that mindset of, okay, what would Jesus do in these situations that we see? Clearly, Jesus wanted to reconcile. Jesus loved justice. And I just, the more I read into it, the more that I look at these moments, I just see this thing that God was, and all of God's followers that we read of in the Bible, were so clear that we need to make it so that whilst we're not saying that genders don't exist and that different races don't exist, we need to treat everybody as our neighbour. We need to love everybody as we want to be loved ourselves.
And that has to be our starting point, doesn't it? You know, that you know, the great commandment is to love God with everything and then to love our neighbour. You know, the two are so intertwined. You know, our worship and the sense of justice have to go hand in hand, don't they? You know, that as a result of our worship to God, when we understand who he is, then that naturally flows out of this sense that there's no barriers that we should be putting in place to stop anyone experiencing the love of God from us as well. It's interesting for me that at the end of that passage you read, Tom, there's this, the whole building is joined together. You know, this building that is made up of different people is joined together and rise to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And this sense of everything fitting together, everyone fitting together and being almost interconnected, you know, just there's no gaps between. It's like to bring this sense of harmony within the body of Christ, to be one people, and this overriding sense. And Paul talks about this in many other places as well, because this is his thing. He doesn't want anyone to feel on the outside. He wants everybody to know that there is a place for them where they're welcome, where they're loved, where they're served, where they can serve, where they can love, where they can welcome. And together, somehow, we become this amazing place where the Spirit dwells, where we reflect God's love and his whole being to everyone who is around us. And it's a massive challenge, isn't it, you know, to have that sense of embrace to all people, and that does create challenges, and that those are the things that for each of us we need to understand and really do something about.
heard it said in the past that the cross is the great leveller. The cross brings us all onto this same kind of platform where before there's lots of hills and there's people who are on the top of the hill, people at the bottom of the hill, and the cross effectively flattens every surface that there is, and it creates us all. It gives us all the opportunity to become one body. Clearly, this is another one of these integral parts that the Bible's saying that actually, you know, there's no room for boasting or feeling of superiority. I was actually reminded as I was talking about James of a verse in James, but if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as law breakers. That's from James chapter 2 verse 9. And this idea of the cross just leveling out everything for Christians, I think, is an incredibly powerful thing. We are all brothers and sisters with one another as a result of what Jesus did. Nobody deserves this grace that we've been shown. We are all as equally guilty of sin, and yet when we look at it through almost the spectacles of the gospel, we put the Bible's glasses on, we can just see that in Jesus everybody is made equal. We are all part of the same body, and if one part of the body is hurting, then the whole body hurts. And I think at this moment in time, from what we're seeing, there is significant hurting across the body of Christ. Whether we think that it's only happening in other countries, I can assure you that it isn't. And when we begin to explore further all of these issues that are very much happening in the United Kingdom, we kind of begin to see that Jesus doesn't want us to live like this. Jesus never designed his kind of kingdom to look like it does at the moment, with people on different levels. And Tim, you touched on some things earlier, that this actually isn't just about race, it's not just about where you've come from at the start. There's so many other moments of human life that there are injustices that happen, whether it's people who've grown up without parents, whether it's people who are being trafficked, people who are born differently to one another, race comes into it, people who live in poverty, immigrants, refugees, those who are in prisons. There's so many different aspects of life that create barriers, that create moments when we're put in different positions, when some of us are on top of the hill and some are at the bottom. And Paul is just wanting us to really, he stresses it multiple times to us, that we are built on the foundation of Jesus now.
And it's such a great place to start, isn't it? You know, it's hard sometimes to know what to do about it, but this is a good place to start. When we understand and the word of God, when we bring it into our whole being, when it sort of reshapes our thinking as well, you know, so when I'm out walking and I see someone of another culture, my mind is to love them, to embrace them, to listen to them, you know, to value them. That's my first thought, you know, and I want that to be my first thought all the time. We live in a very suspicious world, a world full of stereotypes, you know, and I want to my first thought is, you know, here's someone, I see them through the lens of Jesus, and there's someone loved by God who deserves to hear the gospel and who deserves to know that there's a place in the family for them. And that's across everyone I lock eyes with. You know, everyone I lock eyes with, Jesus has died for them, haven't they? Yeah. No matter who they are, what their background, whatever is about them, before any judgment, my first thought is there's someone who Jesus loves. And this is a tough thing, you know, and it's about training our minds. It's about fully embracing the gospel in its vastness and its reach. And Paul, in this passage, I think, really tries to put it down in words exactly what that's going to look like. Because when he wrote that, that was radical stuff to be written. I was reading the Acts story of when Peter had the vision as he was praying, and God showed him, you know, it was okay to eat all the weird animals that he'd never eaten in his life because he was told it was wrong, you know, and it was okay to get up and kill and eat them, you know. And we won't get into the rights and wrongs of animals at this stage, but you know, what God was trying to show him is, you know what, you're not the one to judge this, Peter, you know. And then what happens next is the guys come from Cornelius, the Roman soldier, knock on Peter's door, and suddenly he understands, wow, the gospel has got to go to the Romans as well. The people have oppressed us, and I'm gonna go into their houses. I know it's against the law, but I'm gonna go and I'm gonna embrace these guys and tell them the story. And you know, Cornelius, the story goes on in Acts, and other people come to know Jesus as a result. So it's a major challenge, but one, you know, we've got to be prepared to take up as we continue to think about and wrestle with some of these issues and what it means practically as well for us as individuals, but also for us as a church.
I think this passage is speaking to me that we really need to be intentional about what we do here.
Yeah,
we can't just be passive. We can't just be sort of waiting for things around us to drop into place, because actually Jesus didn't call us to be people who passively allowed it to happen. You know, that wall of hostility was removed by Jesus. It wasn't left to fall of its own accord. It wasn't left like a dry wall to slowly fall over as the wind took it. Jesus intentionally removed that barrier for people from access to him and access to all of his goodness. And so for us, when we see these barriers being put up, I think it's our job and our duty to be intentional in trying to knock them down. And we know that we can do this. It's something that is somewhat scary for us to say, but with Jesus on our side in this, because he 100% is, with Jesus on our side, this is something that we can intentionally work towards eradicating from our world. And that's going to be hard for us, because often it means that we have to look in inwardly. We have to look at our own approaches to what's been going on. We have to almost undergo this examination. I when we were thinking about what passage to look at, I suggested Ephesians 2, but I got drawn to Galatians 2 as well, because in there there's a brilliant passage where Paul is speaking to Peter, trying to tell him about the importance of embracing the other people who were there, because Peter wasn't doing a very good job of it. And so there's just so many challenges that we see, but I think there's an inward aspect to it where we need to look at ourselves and say, okay, what have we done that has not looked like Jesus is wanting us to do? What moments have there been when we haven't seen things as Jesus wanted us to see them? When have we created barriers? When have we created access points that aren't accessible to people, whether it's gender, race, class, anything like that? And how can we remove them from our society as a whole? These are great challenges, Tim. They really are. And it's clearly, it's not something that we're going to solve in 1, 2, or 3 weeks of us doing a 30-minute podcast.
I think this is an ongoing conversation, isn't it?
It's an ongoing conversation.
Good for us to listen to many different voices in this conversation as well. And I've certainly found that enriching by listening to different people wrestle with this as much as we've been wrestling with it. And let's keep on thinking about it, and let's see what opportunities God is going to give us to do something about it as well in our own communities. Great. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tim. It's always good to explore this. And this is part of a journey. We're still journeying together. We're learning new things every week. We always speak for a little while before each time we record a podcast to talk about what we want to talk about. And I think this is one of the first weeks when both of us had so many different things we wanted to share. I was keen to talk about football. Tim was keen to share other things, and we're at the moment, we're at this point where there's so much buzzing around our heads, there's so many things that we're seeing and learning and wanting to share with you, that it almost seems a shame that we only have the couple of opportunities that we do. But we're just speaking from what's on our heart at the moment, and we want to involve you in the conversation. If there's anything you're wanting to send into us, if you want to come and join us on the podcast, if you want to come and sit at the table with us, the virtual table, I should add, for a week, then please do. We'd love to hear your voice in what we're sharing. We've got a few different people that we are planning to line up to talk about. We're not going to share who they are yet, because we can't be 100% sure which week we're going to be able to talk with people. But our hope is that it's not going to be just us next week and for a few of the weeks afterwards, as we invite different people to come and join us in our discussions, our weekly discussions with you as a church. We continue to plan to connect with you through this podcast, and if it's not a 2 or 3 or 4 way conversation, then we're simply, I don't think we're doing the job that we wanted it to be, Tim. So we've been delighted that people have been writing into us and sending us your comments and thoughts about what we've been sharing up to this point.
Yeah, it's been great.
As we have every week, we'd love to pray as we come into land today, and you may want to echo this prayer in your heart. You may want to listen to it and then rewind it if you want to echo to it. That's the joy of a podcast. You can do as you please. But I'd like to pray today a personal prayer that you may want to echo. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you endured death on the cross to make peace between me and God and between me and all my fellow human beings in the world. I thank you that you were the great leveller of ground between us. I ask that you'd examine my heart today, Lord, and I hope that you would point out anything in me that is offensive to you and your people. Show me any walls of hostility that I may be knowingly or unknowingly harbouring in my heart, putting up around me, and I ask that you'll help me to abolish them. Remove the scales from my eyes to see this world as you intended it to be. A multi-ethnic kingdom of peace and unity that serves to bring glory to you. Help me today to begin establishing relationships with other people who perhaps don't look like me, and give me a humble heart to listen and learn from them. I am truly sorry for the ways that I continue to upset you by not loving my fellow man as you've called me to do, and I pray that you would continue to fill me with your Holy Spirit, your power and your love, that I would be able to be a better servant of you in this world. I ask this in the name of Jesus, my Saviour. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yep, thank you, Tom, for sharing your thoughts as well. And we look forward to catching up once again very soon.
See you on Sunday, if not before. Alpha's continuing on Thursdays. You can still join us if you wanted to. This is probably the last Thursday when you can...
Yeah.
I mean, people can join us whenever, but it's probably... just come and join us.
What is it this week, Tom? How can I have faith?
How can I have faith? What an amazing week to join us.
Which is a great week to join,
for you to be able to join us for.
Yeah, please do.
So that's 7:30 on Thursday. If you want to join in and you haven't got details of how to do it, send us a message as soon as possible and we'll get you connected in to that. And then, of course, as you said earlier, Tim, Sunday... 10:30 a.m. for worship, 11:15 for communion, and 7:00 to watch Liverpool versus...
and bedtime story
of course,
this Saturday, or
bedtime
not?
Story on Saturday.
Good.
A bedtime
it's been really helpful.
Story. What story is it this week? You're challenging me now. It'll be Jonah. I knew I'd picked Jonah. Jonah and the very big fish. I don't know why it was taking a while to come to me.
We've had the big boat, the big giant, and now we've got the big fish.
I know. Is there a common theme appearing here?
There's something very big going on, Tom. Anyway, have a great rest.
Have a wonderful week. God bless you.
Bless you,
and
everybody.
We'll catch up with you very soon. Thanks for joining us. Bye.